Today we interview the Cutters. With the help of James Welch, former Grey Goat rider and current Melanzana cycling coach, we interview the Cutters and hear about their journey to winning the 2023 Little 500.
Back here with Peyton Gaskill, the captain of Cutters. You're in Green Sand. When you spoke at the Traditions of IU a couple weeks ago, you said this team is united by what it's going to take to do to win. That begs me to ask the question, what's going to take it to win today?
Yeah, well, it's going to take everything we've got, but we've been putting in a lot of prep work throughout the year, especially for Torn and I, the seniors. It's been a long 4 years, and we've learned a lot of lessons in the last two races, and we're hoping to bring it all to today and make it count.
What do you think is one of those lessons that you learned, especially with the win today, that's going to help?
Yeah, well, the win can certainly be your enemy, or it can be your friend, and you kind of have to convince the pack to take the win for you and make sure nobody's getting a free ride off of you.
Last question I have. You spoke at that Traditions of IU and you said you're most looking forward to taking that victory lap. What would it mean to take that victory lap later today?
It'd mean everything. I mean, especially, like I said, Torn and I, seniors, it's been a long time, especially coming out of COVID. Little Five's been my life for a long time, and especially being a part of Riders Council, and thanks to Student Foundation for keeping this tradition alive. I'm really hoping to be a part of it and, you know, enter our name into the annals of Little Five history.
Awesome. Well, good luck today, Peyton.
Thank you.
Here we go. Two turns left. Cray Maywar in the lead. Harp's on the outside. Pitt's on his outside. What will it be? The checkered flag is ready. History. 15. A sprint to the finish, and Cutters adds further daylight in history.
Thanks, Jack, here with the champions, Cutters, for a 15th time. You won your pole position. You didn't lead that much, but it didn't matter. How does it feel to win the 2023 Little 500?
You know, you see at the end of a lot of races, teams have an explosion of emotion, and I didn't think it'd be that intense, but 4 years, man. It's a long time coming. And, you know, shout out to Gap. Great race. You know, they gave us a run for the money, but I had complete faith in Torn to finish that race for us. We all came together and made it happen. It's awesome.
And your coach just put a ring on you. What does that mean?
I've wanted one of these for a long time. It's awesome. That's all I can say.
Well, congratulations. Go enjoy with your team. Congratulations. Thank 2023 you. Champions.
Okay, in this episode of the Trophy Dash Podcast, we get to interview the Cutters, 2023 Little 500 champions. But today we have a guest interviewer. I asked James Welch if he could interview us so I could be on the other side of the camera and the microphone. James rode for Grey Goat. He's coached Melanzana to two victories. He's very insightful about Little 500, curious. And I thought he'd be a great person to ask to interview us after winning this year's race. So, James, I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and let's start this episode.
Sounds good. Thanks for the introduction, Jim. And first off, congrats to you guys. Got to feel pretty good to get back on top of the podium.
Thank you.
So,
thank
you. Yeah. Nice. So I think maybe I'll just start off with introductions of everyone on the call. We have quite a few people. So you guys want to walk through that and we can get on the background of the team and then dive into the race, how it was won.
Sure. My name is Torin Cray Maywar. I'm a senior on the team. Been on the team for all 4 years, and I've raced three races.
Yeah, my name is Peyton Gaskill, also a senior on the team.
For 1 second. Can we also get how you guys joined the team? I feel like how people join independent teams is always very entertaining. So, yeah, if we could throw that in there as well, that'd be great. Sorry about that.
All good. I'll start off. I joined the team, my sophomore year of high school. I kind of got into cycling, and I watched Breaking Away. So the only idea I really had of Little Five was the Cutters and, you know, a college race. And I kind of biked through high school. And then when I got to my freshman year, I actually was on a ride with my girlfriend and we pulled up and met at the time Noble Guyon's girlfriend. Noble Guyon was the captain of the team my freshman year. And I talked to her and she was like, hey, do you guys know about Little Five? And I was like, I was like, I really want to join the Cutters. And she was like, oh, I can put you in touch. So I was like, all right. And then, you know, I met Noble. I went to ride with him and his teammate, Greg, kind of got on the team, joined the group, and I was off.
Thanks.
Yeah, so like I said, my name's Peyton, also a senior on the team. I found the cutters. I was actually a rower in high school. I'm a little short for a rower, so I was rowing in college. So I went to go buy a bike. Didn't really know much about Little Five. I'm from St. Louis. So I went to a bike shop in St. Louis where the manager was actually James Cordwright, who rode Little Five for Delta Tau Delta, I believe. So no idea about that connection, but he said, hey, you look like a fit guy. I'll give you this bike on a discount and I'll send your number to some coaches I know. And that's how Jim ended up with my number. And then it was started riding with the team from there. So.
All right. My name is Judah Thompson, and I'm a freshman. I've been riding with the team for about a year, but it feels like I've been riding with them for 3 years, which I've pretty much been doing. So I got involved with the cutters basically from my dad. He was a local cyclist and always been involved with the community and Jim Kirkham and knew all those guys. So I always knew I was going to be a cutter. And then sophomore year, I started going on group rides, met Torin, saw how cool he was. Junior year, I started messing around a little bit. I was riding with BKB, looking at some other teams, but always knew I was going to be a cutter. And senior year at the cutters after party, I went up to Jim, told him I want to be a cutter, and that's pretty much that.
We're lucky to have you, Judah.
Yeah.
My name is Jacob Kuhn. I'm a sophomore on the team right now, and I found out about the team through my friend and teammate Danny. He's a senior, he's a junior on the team, about to be a senior. I just started riding with the team a little bit. It was not serious at all. I was kind of just like, this is cool. I guess I'll just go on this ride. And then gradually one ride turned into like doing this, these workouts with the team, and then like growing with the guys over the past 2 years to now I'm at a point where I'm about to be a junior, and I'm like, this team all of a sudden is now like what I'm most passionate about in life, which is awesome that I've like grown from being like, yeah, I guess I'll hop on a ride, to now I'm like, this is awesome, you know?
Yeah, Jason, you
go for it.
Okay, I'll say.
Well,
go ahead.
First, I want to say, Jacob, when he said he joined rides for the team, that was in the height of COVID and we had some virtual workouts. He was in high school and we were all in our homes and we would do these Zoom workouts together. And Jacob, as a senior in high school, joined those. And he'd be this guy like off kind of back in the corner. We're like, who's this guy in high school joining all these weird, weird guys? So anyhow, I'm Jason Fowler. How did I get introduced to the cutters? I knew the cutters. I rode for the Gafambi team. And was in beta. We got kicked off campus. Then it was Gafambi. All my teammates graduated, and but I knew some of the guys on the team, knew Jim, and then just started riding my senior year, and have helped out with the program ever since. So,
like my story, I rode with the team in the early 90s. My last race was 94, and I just stuck around for a few years, and then my coaches were ready to kind of shelf the team and kind of put the team away. And so I kind of threw my hand up and offered to help. That was like around 97. So I've been helping the team ever since 1997, which is really crazy to think about. We've gone through a lot of riders and a lot of laps and a lot of memories for sure. None better than this group, that's for sure.
That all makes sense. That's, yeah, a lot to be involved in over the years. Maybe dive into that briefly at some point without, yeah, focusing too much on the history and keeping it on this year's team. But maybe if we could just touch briefly on how the cutters was formed, and then maybe like how you've seen the team develop over the past couple decades.
Yeah, 1984 was the first cutter team. They sort of were birthed out of the Delta Chi fraternity that got in a little bit of trouble. And ultimately, the bike team kind of got shut down. But there were a few riders left that wanted to continue riding, so they formed an independent team called the Cutters. And that was 1984. And somehow they won the very first year they were a team. So that kind of kept it going because it was originally just going to be like one or two year thing and their guys were going to move on. But they won that first year, so they got some momentum. Then they attracted some more riders, and they won in 86. And then they had a little more momentum. They won in 88. So they kind of just kept going and going and going. And this year, this was our 15th victory since 1984. So I'd say we still have momentum going. And a lot of those old alumni from the Delta Chi era and the early Cutter days, they continue to come back and kind of support the guys and give them advice. Here and there, and they support me. So it's really cool to see like 40 to 50 years of Little Five experience helping these guys right now.
Nice. So then I think this one's more for Peyton and Torin. So you guys joined in 2020. You have back-to-back championships at that point. Going into the year, you know, you have Noble, like, looking pretty good for the year. So you have a strong team identity. Race doesn't happen. Noble graduates. Greg graduates. Sorry, blanking on Patrick. One other person.
Patrick
Coulter. Okay, yeah. Patrick graduates. So how is the team looking kind of coming in as freshmen and then shifting over the next couple years? And how has your guys' role on the team changed throughout that period?
I mean, when we joined the team, like the guys before us were such a strong team that had really figured out Little Five for themselves. And ultimately, like, that was their team. And so Torn and I came in and we learned a lot from them. But coming out of that, like, the team did have to spend a lot of time figuring out who we wanted to be. And that was a lesson that Torn and I, especially as like the future leaders of the team, it took us a long time to really figure that out. And it took more people coming onto the team also, you know, Jacob and Judah and Danny, who's on this call, but he's our student coach this year. I mean, all of those guys played a big part in us deciding how we wanted to create our version of the Cutters. And I think that's an important distinction too, is every year is a new Cutters team. You know, the team that we were this year is different than the team we were last year. And it's different than the team was before that, all the way back to 1984. So
totally.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just like the freshman year, we were rookies, so you don't do much except watch and learn and be a sponge. And Noble and those guys were great guys to do it under. I learned pretty much everything I know about Little Five from Noble. A lot of nights in his basement, a lot of nights doing whatever. And then, yeah, as Peyton said, like sophomore year, we were thrown into it. And, you know, we kind of just kept giving it our all. And I know I for certain, like, tried a lot of different things throughout junior year and, you know, even sophomore year and everything. And it's just eventually we got to senior year. And I know, especially for me, it was like after junior year, it, like, felt like a switch turned on. And I was like, we can do this. I was like, we got a good group of guys. We had some, you know, Judo's joining on the team. We had Jacob. We had Danny. Me and Peyton were starting to figure it out. And we really, like, just settled into our group that worked for us.
But we did not know what we were doing. We had no idea. And the fact that we managed to like finish on the podium in 2021 in a lot of ways was a combination of luck and perseverance, just what the race gave us. But I think getting onto the podium at the very least gave us enough spark to keep pushing for the next year and keep learning.
Totally. So with that, like you coming and joining the team with 14 wins, you know the team knows how to win. As new people on the team, do you have that belief going into your first race that this is something you can get done? Or did that kind of develop after getting on the podium the first time?
I wanted to win really badly, and I really thought I could. I was a little naive in my head, and I think I was even maybe a little bit different than my teammates. And I definitely learned after I went through a race that year, and especially after junior, that I was like, oh, there's a lot of things you need to take care of, a lot of T's to cross, a lot of I's to dot before you can really be ready to win. But I know for me, that's kind of just the way my brain works, I guess.
We had a relatively successful spring series sophomore year, which I think did inspire some confidence. I mean, Torin got second in ITTs, barely missed out on
You're right up there missing out. Yeah, I remember that
second in team pursuit, which was quals for that year also. So, I don't think the competition was particularly fierce that year compared to maybe like last year and this year, but and we were fairly confident that we would have a shot, I guess.
Totally. Thanks. And then flipping to Jason and Jim for a second. Mm-hmm. What was just mentioned was kind of like every year is a new cutters team. And obviously you guys have to, I assume, find a way to keep the cutters going and the cutters trajectory of what you guys have seen, what the alumni have seen, and trying to keep success for the team, but also stepping back to give these guys room to grow and develop on your own. How do you balance that year to year?
I can say that I talked a lot about playing the long game with these guys and thinking about their senior year and everything building up to this race. That first year after COVID, at the track, we just did a lot of laps. They did a lot of laps, a lot of pace line laps, a lot of laps, it's lap after lap after lap. Get to this year, we didn't have to do that many laps. Everything was more concise. Everything had a purpose. Everything was sharper. So we just really built the base, sort of a pyramid that first year. And maybe the middle layer was last year. And this year they got to the top. So, but you talk about a good point of letting them have their experience as well. And over the years, I've gotten better at that, of trying not to micromanage the team and kind of let them have their experience and their race, and maybe creating some boundaries here and there that they may or may not even be aware of, but kind of watching them and keeping them in some guidelines and maybe steering them here and there, but ultimately letting them kind of bounce back and forth and figure out what works for them.
Yeah, you kind of need to, everyone's on a different development curve, right? Whether that's little five or life. And you kind of have to meet that individual where they are and realize that. And sometimes, Jim and I would throw things at, I'll pick on Peyton and Torin. We would throw some things at Peyton and Torin and they wouldn't pick up on it. And it's like, okay, we can't keep pushing because they're not there yet. And while we could tell them exactly what to do, we've both done that in the past and it doesn't really work out the best in the end. You got to let them, they have to be willing and want to go on that journey. And yeah, we make sure we keep the train on the tracks, and because sometimes it does want to steer off and you got to course correct. And so like live example with Jacob and Judah for this next year, we'll challenge them differently than we challenged them this year, and we'll ask more of them than we did this year, and we'll see how they react.
From the rider perspective, it's like, I feel like this year I was not asked much, but I noticed that whenever I gave anything to the team, I would receive like a lot of appreciation back, and like feeling that in the past makes me move toward the future with this perspective of like just like this love for the team. That's like the love for the team, like any relationship just develops the same way. And it's awesome when you have a full team of guys who are doing it, because then you can do it together, which is my favorite part of it.
Really? Yeah. I think I was in Bloomington for a couple of days over spring break and saw you guys when you're hanging out with Melons on, and just that love for the team really showed through of how well you guys got along together just hanging out that evening. And it was cool to see it build up through the year. So that's, yeah, great to see when teams do get along well and develops and ends up with a win at the end of the year. So speaking of that win, we start maybe talking a little bit about, so you guys are leading up. So you won quals, as you guys talked about in your earlier quals interview, did a lot of exchanges earlier on this year, trying to really get that win this time. Anything else in the lead up to this year that you felt maybe shifted a little bit with the training? I know, Jim, you just mentioned weren't doing a lot of laps this year, but yeah, any changes you saw?
I'd say, I mean, at least for Torn and I, like compared to last year, the physical training was not that much. Like Torn and I went into this race bare percentage points faster physically than we were last year. But the biggest difference was all mental. and there's so much more mental preparation, and you know, even just emotional preparation that went into this race in terms of being able to take it with confidence and know exactly what you're going to be able to do, and also just trusting the guys around you. That was something that we did not have in Forest last year. We spent a lot of time developing this year.
Yeah, going along with that, last year especially, like, I was so focused on training. I spent so many hours on it, and it made me really fit, you know, but by a few percentage points. And this year, like, the focus, especially building up to the race, a lot of those hours of training, I realized, I was like, it's really not as important as, you know, maybe having pizza night with the boys, or like just hanging out and having a good time and being like, hey man, like, we're training for a bike race and it should be fun and we should get to know each other. And, you know, the mental game of aspect of it too, like, it was a lot of it was just like giving confidence to each other. And, you know, me being a leader, like, I wanted to show that I knew what I was talking about, like, go through the thoughts, develop, you know, good ideas in my head and exude confidence so that everybody can kind of latch on and move forward with, like, passion.
And not going with nice burnt out.
Yeah, that too.
That's a lot.
Something I feel like was I feel like for me at least, it's just like every year I get more experience and I learn myself better. And like through making mistakes and like having successes, I'm just like learning about myself. So this year I've been able to train and practice for the race in a way that I think targets for Little Five more. And I feel like just makes me a better bike racer. And hopefully just learning more about myself each year is going to allow me to just have more tools to just keep getting better. And I feel like, I don't know, the biggest thing for me, I don't like to think about it too deeply other than just like try to get a little better, you know, and that's where I'm at right now.
I'd add in this team, really the mental side, but focused in on the details. And I'm sure other Little Five teams can relate to this, the chaos of getting all of the right equipment set up and ready for race day, things like trainers and the block for your front wheel, and the skewers and the, you know, the flat pedals, if you do the, all that. And I think this might be the first team in Cutter's history that had it all together, and we didn't have to do any last minute scrambling like day of the race. And so, like, that's just an example of like the level of detail, you know, the four guys here, Danny and everyone else on the team, really, really focused in on the details this year.
Yeah.
And I'd say, you know, like, in addition to those details, like, Torn and I are sophomore year when Jim would be explaining race strategy, and or Jim explaining, or Fowler explaining race strategy to us, you know, you'd use the analogy, like, we're just at a 100 level course here. Like, this is the basics. You guys are just learning. Like, don't even worry about that. That's graduate level stuff. Was kind of the analogy. But we got to this year, and even, you know, race strategy and whatnot, we're down to the minutia. We're down to very specific, very granular circumstances. And we're like, it feels good because it feels like we're at the graduate level courses for Level Five, like really talking about specific situations, and because we have the basics mastered. So that was another thing going into this race. We were able to really drill down on the details, very specific situations of the race.
So with you guys being around a couple years, you're at that level now. Jacob, Judah, Danny, or is everyone else sitting in and part of those conversations, or is kind of getting everyone else the base level of what you should be thinking about for a Little Five? Or are they able to get up that ladder pretty quickly with you guys?
I'll cut in there. Since we have some continuation going out, that COVID was a break in our lineage. Right, so that stuff didn't get transferred. Jacob, Judah, Danny, these guys, they're going to be the beneficiaries of this high level graduate courses. So they get to skip some steps in some ways, and maybe get to graduate courses or master courses or doctorate courses, who knows. But I'll let those guys talk about whether or not they're even aware that they even got to skip steps like that. But they were definitely included in all those talks, all the strategy talks, yeah, and all the conversations. Torin and Peyton did a great job of including everybody, sometimes at nauseam. But there was a lot of democracy on this team throughout the year, for sure.
One of my goals this year, definitely, like, going into it, I knew it was my last year, and I knew I had gotten like a lot of knowledge on the race, and I wanted everybody in on it. Like, I wanted the freshmen who didn't know what we were talking about, and then I wanted them there. I wanted them at least thinking about training, thinking about what they need to do, just because it sets off like a great platform for everybody when everybody's there and everybody can be like, when you're a part of something, you learn so much more. When you like sit there and you watch and you don't do anything and you just see all these people happening, which honestly, my freshman year, I did a lot of watching, but I wasn't like involved as much in the process of it. And so like this year, it was just all about involving them and like getting everybody to contribute. And, you know, it was cool to watch everybody kind of grow and like be able to contribute more and like find what they were good at and find their place in it where they could really help. And at the end of the day, like we had 7 guys at the end of the year that all contributed to that final day. And it's really cool to have that.
Totally. So I'd say going into the race, did you guys have a strategy? Obviously things shift around so much once the flags wave for that first lap, but was there one that you were like, if things go like the A strategy, this would be perfect. We've got this in the bag if it goes this way. Or did you have a couple? And,
yeah, we did. But I'll let these guys talk about it. Someone can say.
Yeah, we won. And we spent a lot of time preparing specifically to do it. And unfortunately, I think we were too marked to be able to get the separation we needed early in the race to do it. But we ended up using everything we trained for anyways to reel Saget back in. And you know, there's a part in the pit where, as you know, we started, or a time in the race during in the pit where we were starting to, you know, bring Saget, reel him back in. And Fowler just turned to us and said, this is our workout. Like, this is what we did. You guys have trained for this multiple times. Like, your workout starts now. And he's, you know, middle of the race, and we're like, we've already done this, so now let's just get down to business. So we weren't prepared to lap the field. We didn't get the opportunity to. We certainly used that training.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to do something big, but I think the cards come race day were a lot different. I knew, like, on my first set, I went out there and I was on the right side of the track, and I saw every single person lined up looking at me, and I was like, I don't think they're gonna let us go. Which totally changes the race. And I mean, really what ended up happening is Saget went and it was just totally different. At that point you react, and you know, we had talked about finishing strategies and stuff. You're like, all right, we want to get Torin on the bike safe, and you know, we kind of brought him back without using me too much, and we just set up for a sprint.
Yeah, on top of granularity, we were fully prepared for him to sprint as well. So we had backup plans and backup to backup plans. So
gotta have those.
A caveat is, I think that we, at least for Saget, I was talking to Saget about this, and they thought I was sprinting, which was, I think, a benefit of missing out getting canceled, is that we were able to kind of shield maybe what some people were thinking. So I think that helped.
I think, simply put, Saget kind of did what we wanted to do in the race. They followed a series of exchanges, keyed off us. Then they win another one with Faisai, and then they kept going. And that's, you know, what ideally we wanted to do. So yeah, it was and when they did that, alarm bells were going off, because they got that gap very quick. They have a lot of speed. They're deep. We know that team very well. So that was, things quickly changed.
Yeah. And that was, at least from what I remember watching the race, one of the few exchanges that you guys actually kind of brought a burn into it. And then you guys are following Delts, and then they followed, you. Was part of your guys' exchange strategy to keep people from being able to follow your burn, and then you can kind of pop back in the pack, hopefully a little easier with the pack going slower? Haven't seen many exchanges like that in the past, so maybe we'll start there with you guys' exchange strategy this year.
Go, Judah.
I personally just wasn't able to get a burn, and I didn't know how, so.
Well, I'll add to that. Actually, we came up with this idea, like,
2010 or something. So
yeah,
13 years ago, actually, as a way to not use energy on the front end. So try to sneak off the pack when the pace is slow. Cause, you know, honestly, it's really 32 teams versus the cutters. Really, everyone's watching those guys every lap. It's really hard for them to get away or do anything to surprise anybody. So this, we knew we had an opportunity to do an exchange off the side when the pace was slow. So this is the first year we really gave it a try, and probably last year we'll get away with it as well. But it worked out really well for us throughout the race. I think by the end of the race, the top teams kind of figured it out, but we got a, we had some good opportunities to use it throughout the race, and I think it helped us save energy early.
I feel like some of those top teams looked at our pit more than some of our riders looked at our pit when they went by. It was like every lap, but they definitely caught on. And like Jim said, we've kind of sprinkled it in a couple times over the years with maybe one or two riders. Torin did it to Peyton 2 years ago, maybe on your first set, and no one figured it out. Or, and so we're like, all right, we're gonna do some more of that. So probably won't get away with that in the future, but
we'll see. They're pulling out the front, but yeah, I think those are a fun way to shake things up. And it was funny, I was actually talking to Melanzana this year in regards to the race that you guys didn't win, unfortunately, but 2016, when you're trying to get the bike out to Trevor at the end. And I was like, oh, if they had just pulled off the side off the back, maybe that's how they could do it and get in their sprinter sooner. And then seeing you guys do it this year is just very funny. That was the first time we talked about it as a team. And then a couple weeks later, like, oh, they're doing it. So yeah, it was kind of full circle in our pit seeing that happen. But nice. Yeah, I think exchanges just really burn people out. So yeah, if you can save the energy on those, super helpful. So maybe if we reel back a little bit in the race, so like lap 38, Sigep goes down. Does it cross your guys' mind to try to lap the field at that point, or is it a little too early? What's going through your guys' heads at that point?
So when Sigep went down, I instantly just went, saw Fowler in the pit, knew it was time to go, talked to Josh right next to me, like, let's go. And we kept it hot for like two laps, and then it started dying down a little bit. And part of me wishes that I just kept on going, making it harder for them to catch back on, but it worked out.
Yeah, you guys ended up first, so I'd say it worked out pretty well.
I think as far as like a little strategy there, like it was, you know, an opportunity to pick the pace up and punish the team, but it would have been pretty forced if we had tried to go for anything there. And we were really trying to avoid forcing this race. Mm-hmm. Like going back to the strategy, like maybe lapping the field would have been like sweet and ideal, but like, we talked about pretty much every scenario, and at the end of the day, like one of the biggest themes was like, we can't force anything, and like whatever the race is giving us and throwing at us, like we have to react to the way it wants almost. I think Judah did well there, where he just, it's like, all right, lay a little pressure down, don't force anything.
And Sigep reacted to that crash really quickly, and they were back on in no time. Really, so there wasn't much we could do, I don't think, at that point.
Yeah. So then later on, Sigep goes for the break. But to pause for a second, we talked about Sigep a lot. Obviously, they were some of the top competition, second in team pursuit, a lot of fast ITTers, a lot of experience. Who else were you guys kind of looking at going into this race as other teams that you maybe not worried about, but the ones that you're watching out for?
Showed at the end of the race that Delts is a powerhouse team. They made it like the second farthest out of all the teams, which is like, I don't know. I feel like that says something. So we were obviously looking at Delts all year, and they're like a really connected group of guys also. And like, I feel like that's just as dangerous as anything. Connected guys that love the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were there any teams that kind of surprised you? I remember my senior year, we had someone that we weren't really worried about too much. They're like, oh, they actually did really well and like kind of, yeah, gave a run for the money. But anyone, yeah, that you kind of, oh, they're still in the race at this point.
I think Alpha Chi is a team that not necessarily surprises us, but year in, year out, the last few years, they've been there at the end. And they're always kind of on our checklist. But,
which team?
Chi Alpha. I'm sorry, Chi Alpha. Chi Alpha, thank you, not Alpha Chi.
A lot of Greek letters.
Chi Alpha. Chi Alpha team. So they rode a great race. So that was one.
Yeah, to graduate some people that they had last year and then come back and be on the final sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great to see.
Impressive.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of teams that kind of were able to unlap themselves towards the end of the race when it slowed down, but maybe we'll get to that.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I was super impressed by Finals. I think going into the race, we thought they were going to have a lot of trouble sticking with the leaders, but they rode really well and sat on long enough to make it pretty far in the end. So that was, I think that was the biggest surprise for me. It was cool to watch this guy do what they did.
Yeah,
I completely agree. Like, they're actually the only team that I marked that race, and I didn't even mean to mark them. I just saw them go, and I was like, oh, time to follow. Made it.
So you said once Sigep did break off alarm bells after they get some distance pretty quickly, but then it was a workout that you guys had been putting in. So once the gap stabilizes, is it just it's a matter of time we're gonna reel them back in, or was there a lap that maybe it gets to 180, 170, we need to shut this down immediately? What was kind of the approach there?
Well, I would say that it was alarm bells were going off until we caught them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I know their riders fairly well. I know their coach really well. And when and they like to sit in and wait for maybe a later race move. So it was a little uncharacteristic of them, but it was a great move when they went, right? Like, you got to take that. And there was a point where when they had just over half lap, if there was a yellow flag, that could have changed the race. They could have probably lapped. And so that was, even when the gap started to come back down, a yellow flag really could have changed things. So for me, it was until maybe we were on the same straightaway with them that felt more like, okay, this is going to happen, because I mean, we were going hard, delts were going hard, and it wasn't coming down that fast. So I'll let the other guys chime in, but I mean, the efforts were very hard.
I want to say, like, for me, it really wasn't alarm bells, because I had a lot of trust in my teammates. And I appreciate Fowler's perspective there, because I wasn't really thinking about a yellow flag or like the dangers of those sort of situations. I just, like, as soon as they got point, I really saw it. I was like, all right, they're going to burn a lot of matches. And I, especially when Delta started working with us, like, I felt very confident in the abilities of our team and my teammates, and as well as like Chi Alpha and Delta throwing in there. Delta especially working really hard. Like, I didn't really get scared ever, because it felt like we had it under control at all times. Probably the scariest point I remember was like when I got on the bike, and I think I remember hearing the announcer say like 26 or 27 second gap, and I was like, all right, we need to go. And after that, it felt pretty calm to me.
Yeah, I mean, seeing how fast they were going through their rotation compared to how fast we were, and based on the lap time that I knew that we could put out in the workouts, I was fairly confident that in a war of attrition that we would be able to outlast Sigep. And things were getting a little hairy for me when I saw Sigep had caught up to Faisai and SAE, and Carson was basically giving them a tow around the track. And I was like, okay, we're on the front by ourselves for the most part right now, and Sigep's just getting a pull. So I was like, okay, now we're fighting uphill. That was probably the hairiest moment from my perspective.
Yeah, to go off Peyton, we could see they were doing four lap sets pretty much, and most of the time teams get fatigued when they don't get enough recovery. So we felt like it was a matter of time before the gap would start to come back. Now, I had no idea it would be 80 laps, really, or however many it was. It was quite impressive that they stuck out there that long. But the women's race the night before, like, same kind of scenario, right? So we talk about often the men's race mirrors the women's race in so many different ways. So we had that in our mind. That was fresh. Like, let's just be patient. Yeah. Our goal was to keep the pack moving. So keep the pack together, keep it moving, try to get other teams to help us. And the Delts did a lot of that. And then slowly over 80 laps, we started gnawing away at their lead. Eventually came back. Well, I forget what lap it was, but we caught them. Like
I think it's 160. Oh,
170.
I do not have it written down. But yeah, 69 was when they went. And then it was probably in the 50s or 60s when you guys brought it back. But maybe you guys have it. Someone else.
150 something, I think.
Yeah.
But, and then it was a new race.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like that too.
Yeah.
Crowd got energized. We got energized. We sat Torin on the trainer.
Oh, yeah. He was on the trainer for, looked like, the rest of the race until
the
last couple laps.
That was a big goal. That was a big goal this year, is to make sure Torin got to the finish of the race rested, like, you know, with at least 50 laps of rest in his leg.
And that's so different than last year. I was in last year's race. So I remember seeing Torin in the pit. He's like sitting there, not talking to anybody, having to do so much work, just like the whole race. It almost feels like he's trying to do it himself because we keep bringing him the bike and he's off the back, and then Peyton will do a killer set. We'll go really hard and gain some ground. And I don't know, that whole time it feels like, and then the difference in this year's race is Torin was sitting on the trainer for like 60 laps or something leading up to the finish. Just looking at his teammates like, hey, you guys got it. I'm gonna just chill here if that's cool. It's just a different team. And that's really awesome to me.
Andy was looking at me, our student coach, the whole time. That was really fun because he was like sitting there. He's like, man, you've been here a long time. Dude. He's like, what are you doing? Like, they're letting you rest too long.
That's awesome. So with like last year, I believe you guys did go for a little break towards the end. This year, you bring Sigep back. Okay, maybe not. So, yeah, let me know if I'm wrong on that one. But it seemed like you guys were off
the back. Last year, we were off the back. Last year, we were off the back with like 10 laps to go.
Okay. Yeah,
might have to catch back up barely.
Jumbled in my head. So, maybe when you guys bring Sigep back, is the thought immediately, let's get Torin rested for a sprint, or does it cross your mind, maybe let's counterattack right now?
I mean, we
talked about it.
Yeah. I think we were still trying to race the race that was evolving. And then there's a crash and then there is some more separation. So we were still trying to be in the moment and race whatever race came to us.
We had the tool in all of our heads. We know Torin was like a tool. We knew he could win the sprint at the end. So it's like, if that's in the cards at that moment, we're going to set him up for that. And that's what we were able to do.
Yeah.
I think finishing was definitely a big strategy there, but like with the nuance of, you know, if the race gives us an opportunity somewhere, we may be able to do something. And you know, in that case, I'm ready for it too. So I think it was really similar to the rest of it, where it's just like, whatever the race gives us, you know, we'll be there for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, shortly after you guys do bridge back up, you have that crash at 164 with Fiji rubbing your guys' wheel. Pace picks up again. And then I think it's more or less Delts ends up catching back. Is there any thought crossing your head of like, let's take Delts out of the race at this point, or let's stay fresh? Obviously, you're talking about how the race gives what it gives and work with it, but yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely trying to punish the Delts. At first, I thought I was just going to be myself, but Drew Gavet caught back on my wheel, and I looked at him, told him, let's work together. Delts are off the back, and that's what we were doing for about six-ish laps, maybe a little bit more, a little fuzzy with the racing, but
yeah.
we're working together pretty well, but I think it was Blake and John Peterson who just did a killer set to catch back up, and they got us. It's because me and Drew started doing some cat and mouse at the end, trying to shake each other off, which definitely slowed things down.
Definitely. How was for you, Judah? You've done some racing in the past, going into your first little five. Did you feel the riding was different, or do you feel like there's enough prep going into the year that getting on the bike that first set is easy going? Not easy going, but knew what to do. Muscle memory at that point.
Yeah, I've done a lot of racing, like World Tour racing, velodrome racing, crit racing, racing, and it was completely different. Like, so different. Wasn't prepared at all for what it was going to be like. First set, I was like, what is this? And I was panicking a little bit, especially seeing Sig up the road. I just didn't really know what was going on. And I was also just like, I was scared. Just mainly with riding with everyone, but throughout the sets, I just started feeling comfortable. And I think my best set definitely was my last one with Drew. I actually just had so much fun with it. And going into next year, I feel like I'll definitely be more confident and ready to actually perform to my best ability.
Totally. So then switch.
You don't know what Little Five is until you're in Little Five, right? You think you know, but it's a lot different than climbing up Bean Blossom Hill fast. And it's such a unique event, but you have to go through it to figure that out.
I feel like you can watch all the race tape you want, but until you're out there doing it, it's pretty different.
Talk about Judah. We try not to give Judah too much responsibility either. Like, we knew he's a really fit cyclist and a great road rider, but we tried to give him a job that he could do, and he did a great job at it. So we tried to overload him with responsibility or pressure this year.
Yes. How is that different than when you have a team that's completely new and then you have to divvy out responsibility and don't have a couple returners?
We've had all rookie teams before.
Yeah.
And I mean, someone's got to throw their hand up to lead the guys or finish the race. It's not easy. It's rare to win a race like that. So you kind of got to look at it as a building block year.
Totally. 2021, right? All rookie team. Yeah. And the team changed a lot. Even right before the race, the month leading into the race, since the race was, you know, later that year and not in April, some of the graduating seniors, had jobs and weren't going to be around. Right. And so, you kind of figure it out on the fly a little bit to see how people are feeling on the given day.
Makes sense. So, I got us a little sidetracked, which, if you ask Melanzana, I'm pretty good at doing that. But we get back to the end game for the race. Torin, do you know like how many laps it was when you were set put back in?
How many laps I rode at the end?
Yeah, maybe like your last set.
Yeah, my last set was probably five or six.
Okay.
Six.
Yeah. Gotcha. You come in feeling pretty fresh, 60-ish laps off the bike, I believe. At that point, what's your strategy for those last five laps? And then did it end up going, or six laps, and did it end up going exactly how you planned, or kind of have to adjust?
For me, so it was six laps to go. I got on, I was right with the pack. I caught up slowly. You know, first it was like, all right, like, are they going to try to hurt me? But they all knew I was close enough. Nobody pushed it. So I took my time getting up to the pack rather than just like gunning it for no reason. And then when I did get there, really the strategy, like I knew I was the freshest rider, so I didn't think anybody was going to get away from me. I really liked being at the back because I could see everybody, which meant nobody could get a jump on me. And I was confident enough, you know, even though I'm a few bike lengths off Josh's wheel, that if he did try something, I'd be able to either, you know, hop on the wheels following or go directly to him. So really, like, I felt like I was in a good spot. And ideally, I wanted to go with a lap to go. I felt like I could run the fastest lap at the end of the race. And the way it worked out, it, they it just kind of worked out. Josh sat on the front for, you know, four laps or so. I got to sit on the back in a safe position where I felt like I was watching everybody. It was two laps to go on the front straight. Well, if you go back a little bit further, 2.5 laps to go, I kind of was able to box Jonathan Frazier in, kind of missing out style. You know, everybody was lining up. And I went ahead and took fourth place. And then going across the front stretch with the tailwind, I was able to slide up to second wheel pretty easily. Nobody really fought me for it. And then once I was there, Josh noticed me, and, you know, you could tell he wanted to have that front position. And we fought a little bit through turns one and two. I didn't want to go quite yet, so I let him have it. And on the back stretch, really, like, I was just looking for somebody to go. I like went ahead and kind of went to the front.
That was his back stretch of lap 199.
Yeah.
At this point. Yeah. Okay.
I like went to the front. And I left room for Josh on the inside, and Pitts could have gone around on the outside. He had moved up at that point. And really right there, I was ready for somebody to go and for me to come around them, or I was ready to take it from the front. And I kind of picked up the pace enough that Will didn't want to go, and Josh went ahead and did. And when Josh went, we met at about turn three, and I knew I needed to beat him out of it. So I fought really hard for that position. And then once I came around to that last lap, it was pretty much exactly what I wanted. You know, I hadn't done much work. I hadn't had the fighting for the position was probably the hardest part, I guess. And, you know, once I got it, it was the lap I had ran a million times in practice. I've been telling everybody I talked to about the sprint. It was like so cool because I launched out of turn four, and from that moment forward, it didn't feel like the race anymore. Like it felt like a practice lap. Like I don't remember seeing anybody on the infield. I don't remember seeing fans, and I didn't even see any riders like next to me. It was just like a really surreal moment where I kind of like it worked out the way I wanted to, and I just like it was the lap I had seen a million times. It got to happen, which was really cool.
Yeah. At what point in that lap are you like, does it hit you that you've won the race?
It wasn't until I was over that line. I mean, you saw, yeah. I didn't really have a celebration until after.
No. Celebration. Kind of poured the whole way, but.
Yeah, celebrations are cool and everything. And like, I would have liked to have, you know, done something cool. But I mean, just going back for the whole year and my 4 years, I was so focused on crossing that line first that there was no celebration in my mind. There is nothing there in my mind. Like the only thing I was thinking about. And if you look at my face too, those last six laps, like I was going to be first to cross that line. I needed it so bad. And I mean, and, you know, no matter like those six laps, I guess there wasn't really a strategy in plan. I just knew that I wanted to take it from a lap to go. And if anybody was going to fight me for it, I was going to be on their wheel. I was going to be ready to take it.
Yeah. With crashes in the past couple races towards the end, is that in your head at all in regards to positioning? Or you felt the track was in a better condition and not too worried about it this year?
Crashes are super huge, and they're always in my head when I'm in a sprint, especially in little five. The past 2 years, I did a really great job of moving to the front, so I could be away from those crashes. And this year, even, I was where I needed to be out of it. Because really, like, when you're coming into it, if it's pretty slow, it was fine. Like, when we're just crawling six people and we're not doing anything, you don't have to be that scared of crashing. It's kind of that, like, last push whenever it starts that you get scared. And so, you know, for this race, like, I ended up being, you know, second wheel about when we were all pushing for it. So I was in a safe position.
Does anyone who has a sixth sense to avoid a little five crash, it's Torin.
Yeah, I have been the past few races, the crash has been right behind me. So maybe it's just about trusting my instincts as well.
I think even like for the three races Torin and I have been, our team has never gone down in any of those three races. And I don't know if that's like statistically significant at that point for a major team not to go down three races in a row, but it has been fortunate for us.
It's all those laps you did.
Protecting your front wheel and looking out for it. I mean,
I want to score by the bump drills. But we go out there and we try and push each other off each other's bikes.
Yeah, we do that a lot. At the end.
You learn the moments where you might go down. Like, it's important to realize that this is a moment where I might crash, so I'm gonna not do this anymore, you know.
Sometimes it takes crashing a lot too. I think all of us have been in plenty of crashes off the track. You get enough of them, you're like, I'm not gonna do that one again.
one thing on the end there, either Torin doesn't remember it or he's being humble. Probably the latter. He actually verbalized to me and others exactly what he was going to do, and he did it each lap and talked through it in very fine detail. And so when it was happening, it was really cool to watch, because it's like, you know, there's three laps to go. No, he's going to be in the back because that's what he said he was going to do and what he wanted to do. And he took the lead right when he said he wanted to. He said he was going to coast through turn one, I think was his words, and he did, right? And so, you know, you can have goals and write things down, but when you verbalize them to other people, I think he was accountable to us in a way, right? And then just to see that execution and the end result was pretty special.
I think I forget to talk about it, honestly, because I mean I verbalize it to you guys, but like that scenario, kind of exactly what happened, has been in my head since, I mean, maybe even last year. Like last year I didn't really get the chance to ride the sprint I wanted, and it was actually like I would have rode the same sprint I rode this year last year if I had gotten the chance to. I mean, it may be even multiple years of thinking about that scenario to the point where like it's hard to talk about, because it was there. Like I didn't have to think about it anymore. Like my body knew what to do, my mind knew what to do, and I felt it. At that point, it was all just about relaxing and winning, which is a
When I got off the bike on that last set and handed it to you, and I saw you rejoin the pack, I was like, he's got it. Because like I just, like you said, you were doing exactly what you had told us you were doing. And we spent the last 3 years racing each other. And I feel like every time we do a sprint lap, you just chip away at how you win that sprint lap until it just got perfect. And it was unbeatable. I was like, he's got it. So
nice. So Peyton, you knew it was game over as soon as Torin goes in. What about the rest of you guys? When do you know it's in the bag? So when it crosses the line?
For me personally, it's as soon as I saw the yellow flag hit on my last set, which was the Cutter's third to last set, because like my biggest job was to make sure that Peyton was going to be able to get the bike to Torin so that Torin was with the pack. So if I was too far off the back, it would not be good. I was fresh, and I was ready to see an opportunity to get off the bike, but that yellow flag was like the best opportunity we could have gotten, because it was very, very safe in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And we exchanged under yellow. Jacob to Peyton. Yeah. And then Peyton, he did your job and used some maybe some lap traffic to get your gap, right? Because the field couldn't get right on your wheel, which then set the bike up for Torin.
I bet he learned to do that while he was doing all those laps his sophomore year.
That's right.
Peyton always knew how to do that, man. If you watch Peyton in street sprints this year, he's not a dude that can accelerate a bike as fast as him. I know I can. Like, I do pretty well against Peyton in most of our races, but if you give us a 50-meter line and we aren't going that fast, like, he's going to dust you every single time. It's just, he had, like, that was, I mean, I understand why Jacob thought we were going to have it at that point, because the hardest part probably was Jacob to Peyton. I was like, all right, like, how are we going to get through that one? We got the freebie, and with Peyton on the bike, like, I think every single one of us knew, like, yeah, he can get me a gap.
Yeah. I think that was one of the special parts about our team, is, and we would say this, like, we don't have a 1-2-3-4 on the team, like, you, because everyone is a tool with a unique job, and my best effort is a 10-second effort, like, just pure pop. And so the rest of these guys have so many laps in their legs, but the only needed in the race was to go really fast for a short period of time.
17 laps,
and 17 laps, and it worked out perfectly. So
cool. I want to touch on that aspect. It really was going into this race, man, talking about, like, oh, who's the fourth, who's the third, who's the one, who's the two, like, there wasn't an answer, man. Every one of us was great at different things. And it was like, all right, you let them have fun doing that. If you looked at Jacob, he was smiling all day, having fun in the paddock. You know, everybody trusted me the sprint. They were like, yeah, you do that. We trusted Peyton to get a gap. We knew Judah was just going to eat laps and chase things back. So when you got four guys that you just trust and you know can do their job, it works, man.
Totally. So past couple years, like, you could let me know if you felt the same way, but it's pretty gutting when you lose the race, putting all that effort in. This year, completely different feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, how exciting were you as, like, your guys' pit looked so happy when it came together at the end, but can you put it in the words of once everything comes together, like you said, you've been visualizing that sprint for years. Has it sunk in yet? Do you think it will?
For me, it finally did. It took a long time, though. Actually, it really didn't sink in. Like, after the race, man, I sat down, and I was so done. I was so tired. Like, I don't know if it was all the emotions, the whole year, 4 years, like, whatever it was. But I was just, it was a lot. And, you know, it felt cool. I didn't really feel like I had won yet. But it was like Thursday. We had, like, lunch together as a team. Jim looked at me and he was like, "Dude, what are you doing?" Because I was sitting there and I was definitely a little mopey. Like, there's a lot of change happening in my life. A lot of, like, big things happening as it does this time of year. And he just kind of looked at me like, "Dude, like, you did it. Like, come on." I was just like, "Yeah, you know, you're right. Like, it did happen. All the work was worth it." I think it was just so surreal to, like, have it turn out that way. Like, when you think about that much, and it actually goes your way, holy crap. And it's just, I don't think I can put it into words the way it feels. I know that when I lost my sophomore year, my heart broke. Like, it hurt so bad being second across that line. And I mean, that year especially, and that loss was the fire that was in me this year. I didn't want to be second again.
The pit was very excited, and, you know, I think we were really excited for our seniors who kept this team going, and I can't thank them enough for what they did, for sure. You know, every time we win a race, it seems to be for a different reason here or there, but that one was for those two guys, I think, in my mind, for those two guys who kept this team going, and when the times weren't very easy. And, you know, there's high expectations when you join the Cutters, really. But those guys joined the team, and I was proud of them for keeping it going. I was super excited for them to see them do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as Jim. Like, obviously, it feels amazing to have won that race. But, like we were, like, I don't know. I feel like I've learned so much from, like, all the people on this call just about, like, what the race is and how we should prepare for it. But, like, after winning the race, for me personally, it just made it so I, like, finally unlocked this thing in my brain where I'm like, all right, I'm allowed to start thinking about next year now. That was the biggest emotion I had immediately after the race. Obviously, the whole week after has just been like my confidence has been really high, which has just allowed me to, like, love life a lot, which has been awesome. But yeah, for me, the main thing was just, like, that, like, unlocking in my brain, which was awesome.
Judah, first year, little five, one win already. How's that feel?
Came on with a great time. Definitely wanted to do it for the seniors and got to carry it on for the next 3 years. And feeling confident that will happen.
Jason, Jim, you guys have been involved with the program for a long time. There's races you win, races you lose. how do you kind of balance that of you're not going to win every race? That's obviously like you want to, but coming out of the season with a positive attitude regardless, and then but maybe a little more positive when it is with the first place trophy. How do you kind of balance that mentally year after year?
You know, we have had some riders come through the team and they haven't won, mm-hmm. which statistically is pretty rare, actually. And that some of those guys still come back to the race. Most of them do. And they still find ways to give. So I know we're doing the right thing. And I know we try to celebrate the highs and the lows the same. Right? We try to treat them the same. And really put emphasis on the work, the journey, the path, the evolution as of a human, and the growth that we all go through in life, especially those ages of 18 to 22, you know, a lot of growth going on. So we really try to emphasize that. And, you know, we cry when we lose and we cry when we win. So it's everyone wants to win. Winning makes it more fun, I guess, but we try, at least I know I do, is keep the team moving. Just keep the team moving. Make sure it's fun. Make sure the guys are working hard. They're growing. And then the right people find the team in the future. And we try to connect with the guys in the past. I don't know if that was an answer or not, but there's no real formula other than just trying to have unity and fun and allow people to grow at their own pace.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jim said that the journey, and that's a big thing we focus on. It's not like you know, first week of school and we're talking about winning the race. We actually don't talk about winning the race that often. It usually comes from the riders, not from the coaches. For me, you know, it's really about seeing individuals like these four guys and the others on the team, the other three as well, of committing to a goal and really putting everything they have into it. That could be the race, that could be ITTs, whatever you want. And what's so rewarding is seeing when someone commits to that fully and they might not get it. And that's okay. And it is tough at times. But there's a lot of life lessons that happens in Little Five, and I think that's the special stuff. You know, these guys, they're not going to remember much about the race 5 years from now, 10 years from now. They will remember the journey to the race day, and that's the big stuff.
If I can add in a little bit here, I think you guys both hit the nail with the hammer when you said journey. Like, honestly, the feeling at the end of these three races has, like, I think was weirdly similar for me. Like, winning was super fun, losing like was super sad, but in a way, like, especially this year, I was like so sad about that the journey was over. Like, when I crossed that line first, it's like, yeah, you know, fantasy ending, you know, it's like, yeah, it happened. We did it, but I had so much fun with this team and all these guys for 4 years, and just knowing that, like, it's the last time I'm going to be on that track. I think that hurt more than the win felt good. Like, I'm going to miss this team a lot. I put my heart into it, and I put my heart into it every year. And I always got everything I wanted out of it. It was just, it's going to be sad saying goodbye to such a magical, like, amazing thing.
Yeah, I think it's really special for Torin to walk away with a win here, because it shows him that, like, all this stuff that he put in, and because Torin has lost the race at the end. He's been the guy on the bike at the end of the race twice now. So him to cross the finish after being, like, I don't know, I feel like it's really awesome for him to have that.
I was going to say, so last time we're on the track until Jacob and Judah's victory lap next year. I'll be there.
Oh, yeah. Unless you end up with the fifth year. It's an easy solution. But otherwise,
I got that one.
What's that?
I said I have the eligibility if I want to.
That's right. Get after it. So let's say if it is next year. what's the team looking like next year? You two are graduating. You got Jacob, Judah, Danny. How many other guys are coming back?
We got Thomas Borowski coming back. He was a freshman on the team. And then I think the only other two are two guys that have just been around the team, right? Kyle and Jake.
Chris
Hutto.
Chris, yeah.
You know, James, the right people find the team at the right time is a little phrase I always use. We don't go out and recruit people. We just kind of try to create a good environment. So if people want to join the Cutters, we always accept people. And if you're nice and you don't quit, you tend to have an influence on the team. So the team will be fine. We're in a great spot. Team's very healthy.
Yeah, I'm not worried about you guys having an issue next year, but I was more so curious. Yeah, how's the team? I'm assuming pretty excited for next year. A couple of returners was more so where I was gearing that towards.
Yeah, it's gonna be a very different year, and I feel like we're ready to just learn along the way. You know,
yeah. First, we're gonna have a nice, fun summer just racing Velodrome, racing crits, and just bonding with each other.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I think you'll be able to get most of the guys out there doing that.
Oh yeah,
we'll see. Yes, we'll see who shows up.
Yeah, hopefully get Thomas's car in soon. That'd be helpful.
That's great. Well, yeah, I think it's just been really cool to see your guys' team over this year, and then actually hearing it from you guys, the passion and the excitement for the team, and as you said, Jim, that journey. And I think it's so key to focus on that, since not everyone does get across the finish line first, and knowing that it is about the journey. So I'm glad that you guys keep that front and center throughout your years on the team.
Yeah, there were years in the past where, even when I was coaching, that wasn't necessarily the primary focus, and it kind of showed. But I made a switch, and it's paid off a lot.
That's great. Anything else you guys want to hit on right now?
I think this was a great summary of the race. I appreciate you taking the time, James, to kind of facilitate this conversation. It was wonderful.
No problem. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Let me ask Peyton and Torino, what advice would you guys have to rookies that join the Cutters going forward?
Rookies.
Be a sponge.
That's the best advice. Try your hardest, and don't be hard on yourself. If you're doing your best every day, and you know you're given the time that you want to give to the team, then you don't have to worry too much about the results or anything. Like, you'll get to where you need to be eventually. Sometimes it's best just to let go and see where it takes you.
I think the other thing would be stick with it, and one day the team will be yours. And when that time comes, you get to decide what it means to be a Cutter. So.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. This is great. This is special to me. Thank you, James. Thank you, all you guys. And that's it. Wrap it up. Thank you, guys. Wow. Love all you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again, fellas, for your time. And thank you for everyone who's listening and watching all these episodes and these stories about Little 500. Thank you.